Now, it's been 21 years since the landmark High Court decision in the case of Wick versus Queensland, which saw native title granted to the Wick people of Cape York. Dean Gibson is the writer and director of a documentary called Wick versus Queensland that looks at this case and the impact it had on politics, law and Aboriginal land rights around the country. We are lucky enough that he joins me on the line now. Dean, thanks so much for your time this morning.
Good morning, Tess. Good morning, all.
So a lot of people would be a lot more familiar with the 1992 High Court case, Mabo, and how that established a system of native title. But could you tell us a little bit about the Wick case? It's a little bit lesser known.
It is, and I think the significant part of the Wick case was we all know what Mabo represented for Australia and how that set up the native title laws within Australia that followed the Mabo decision. But I think the big significant part of the Wick story is that Wick is Western Cape York Peninsula, and it sits on a big bauxite deposit, and it's surrounded by large cattle and grazing properties. So there's a lot of interest around the Wick people. And I think what the Wick case certainly did do was represent the first mainland test case around native title. That was significant in that manner, and it certainly drew the nation's attention to that for that particular reason.
And now the film's tagline that you've made is, "The day Wick won the battle but lost the war." Could you tell us a little bit about what you mean by that?
Yeah. Look, I think the big part of the whole story is all along the journey, the Wick people and the Cape York Land Council and the people from far north Queensland played by the rules. But they did everything as they were supposed to. They went through the courts. They put forward their case, and they finally got their day in Canberra at the High Court. And the High Court judges ruled in their favour in 4-3. So they won the case. But what followed, I don't even think they were ready for what followed, which was a barrage and an attack and a big shift within the political leaders of the nation who really weren't happy with the decision and decided that things needed to be done post the decision and put laws in place to certainly, in many ways, put the Wick people back in their place where they felt they deserved to be. And at the time, you know, and it's a big reason why we made this film. At the time, it was the media focused on the politicians and the lawyers, and it was all about the people down in Canberra. And many ways, they forgot about the Wick people. The voice of the Wick people was forgotten, and that's what we're sort of hoping to do with this film: is to give 21 years on, as you said, 21 years on, finally give the Wick people a voice to sort of talk about a lot of their family and a lot of those who those people were and what that decision meant to them on the day.
And it has been 21 years, which in some respects is quite a while, but in other respects is just an absolute blink worth of time. Could you, I guess, how much do you think that land rights has changed for Aboriginal people since then?
It's a great question. And coming off with, you know, with the Uluru Statement of the Heart, particularly being a big piece of social conversation around black and white Australia at the moment, and where we want to go as a nation of Aboriginal people and a nation of, more broadly speaking, it couldn't be any more timely. One of the sad, as a filmmaker, you sort of get into the research and you quickly learn and pick up things and see trends that existed back then. In many ways, nothing has changed. And sadly, in many ways, it's probably gone backwards in certain elements as well. I think one clear story to me was, I was in the microfiche in the State Library of Queensland looking at over the old newspaper headings of the day and seeing what was written, being spoken about. And there was a front page with Pauline Hanson and a few other people sort of having their rants about Aboriginal affairs. And I reckon I could have gone downstairs into the cafe underneath that State Library that day during my research and probably seen the same sorts of headlines. And I thought, yeah, this film, although 21 years ago, and a story that some people aren't that aware of, could really act as a great stimulus for conversation to move forward as a nation today.
And what has the reaction to the film been like so far?
I mean, we're excited that we're having our world premiere in Sydney this Saturday morning at the film festival. But we were lucky enough, and I think as a team, I sort of said to everyone, I said, if we're going to make this film, the first people that are going to see it are going to be the WIC people. We're going to have a little screening up in Aracoon, up in far western Cape York Peninsula, and we're going to honour and we're going to celebrate that story with their people. It's not my story. I helped them tell the story. It's their story. So it was an amazing night last week. We went up to Aracoon and we just put on a screening at the little local community centre, and we were met with tears of joy and sadness, because you got to understand, we used archive in the film, which delves back 30 years, which delves back 50 years. So a lot of young people seeing their grandparents, the great-grandparents for the first time, and it brought a lot of emotion, but it was a lot of pride on the line too, and I think it sort of showed in the conversations that followed.
It is such an important story to tell. Dean, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you very much.
That was Dean Gibson, writer and director of a documentary called WIC vs. Queensland. It's screening tomorrow as part of Sydney Film Festival. We'll pop all the links for you up in the podcast, which you can find at 2SER.com.